Let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray. Father God, you are holy. You are mighty. You are gracious. You are kind. You are worthy of our praise and our adoration. And Father God, we are humbled to be able to come into your presence and to offer you praise. We thank you, Father, that you give us voices so that we can praise you. You give us intellect so we can think about you and offer you praise. You give us community so we can know what it's like to live together in praise of you. What an awesome God you are. And we pray now that you would be with us as we spend time in your word, and we pray that you would be uplifted and that you would be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever felt all tangled up inside? Ever found yourself sort of pulled between competing responsibilities? Or maybe right now you find yourself right in the midst of a significant challenge in your life that leaves you feeling all kind of knotted up inside. Maybe that you've made some really bad choices. These choices are starting to have a real effect in your day-to-day life. They're coming home to roost, as it were. And you're feeling trapped by the decisions you've made. Well, I have to admit that in my own life, it's been kind of a crazy couple of months. It's been filled with a whole host of challenges and needs that need to be met. And I have found in my own life that I'm pulled in many directions. And when that happens, I find myself feeling anxious. Ever feel the anxiety of being tangled up? And I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling anxious and when I'm feeling out of sorts and I'm feeling that sense of being tangled, it's really easy for me to slip into negativity. See, that's how I know something's wrong with this man. Something's amiss. A sort of dark cloud can envelop me and I start to see things through a negative screen. And I find it harder to listen, harder to be patient. And I became aware of this while I was on my tractor mowing my lawn. I'm out there by myself mowing my lawn, you know, and having a great time because it's something I can accomplish easily. You look over your shoulder and you say, I did that. Look what I did. I cut the grass. So I'm going along. It's one of the few house things I do well. So anyway, I'm mowing the lawn, and as I'm doing that, I don't know if you do this, but as I'm doing the house project thing, I'm just thinking. And I'm finding it was rolling from one negative thought to the next. You know, it'd start, and I'd be thinking something, and it would turn south, and it'd get all negative. And then I'd say, go on to the next thing, and it would get all negative. And on to the next thing, and the next thing, and finally it occurred to me, you know, it can't be that bad. I mean, just one thing after another was just flooding my mind. And I find that when I go down that road, the best thing I can do to settle myself, sort of untangle all that, is to get in the Word. Do you feel tangled up? And start getting untangled by getting in the Word. Now, this may sound obvious. You may say, well, of course. But my experience is that when we're all tangled up, like this poor gentleman here, when we're all tangled up inside, what I have found is so often the thing that we jettison first is the Word of God. It's kind of like we're in a rowboat, you know, and we're rowing away. We got our life preserver on, and we notice that the water is coming into the boat. And so we start to, you know, we stop and we start to plug up the hole a little bit, and water keeps coming in, and we're thinking, well, I can't really work on this hole. I just take this life preserver off because it's kind of getting in the way of my working on the hole. So I take my life preserver and I cast it aside. And then I keep working on the hole, but the water keeps coming in. And so all these stupid oars are in the way. I got to get rid of the oar. so I can work and I can put this out. And then I take the next door and throw it off the side. Well, we do that sometimes when we're tangled up. We throw away the thing that we need. We throw away the scripture, and we don't have time for that. We only have time to try to get ourselves all untangled. But when I find myself going back to the Word, and when I got back into the Word, I found myself fixed on Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, these two verses of Scripture, they are probably the most widely memorized by folks. You may even know them by heart yourself. And I think that they resonate because they remind us of one of God's promises. They remind us that He will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. Now, when you're all tangled up inside and you're not sure how to get yourself untangled, it can be comforting to know that there is one who is able to make straight your paths. Now, I don't know about you, but in our household, at about 5 minutes to the time that we were supposed to leave to go do something very important, inevitably, my three boys would come to me with their shoes in knots. And these are not just knots. These are knots that were constructed by Satan himself. They're just this bulbous thing that sits on top, and they can't get their feet in, and they're all upset. And so I start picking at the knot, and I'm trying to work the knot and get it undone. And you know, I never felt a whole lot of pressure, because I knew that there was one who could untie any knot that Satan put together, and that was Karen. So while my big fat fingers were working away at the knot, I didn't, no pressure. Take it to your mother, because she'd get it done. She would be able, she had the power to straighten out that knot, no matter how big and no matter how exhaustive it was. So when God says that He can straighten our paths, it's a wonderful promise. It's a comforting promise, but it's a promise that's conditional. It's conditional on our trusting the Lord. It's conditional on our not leaning on our own understanding. And it's conditional on our acknowledging Him in all our ways. So I thought, let's take a brief look at God's promise here and see how He can take our tangles and straighten them out. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now the proverb opens with a positive command, not a suggestion. It's a command. A command to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, when we trust in something, we're declaring that we have a firm belief in the reliability, in the truth, and the ability or strength of someone or something. And the Hebrew word for trust there also carried with it the additional idea of trusting for the sake of our own security or our own well-being. So here, Solomon, the writer of the Proverbs, calls us to trust not just anyone, but he calls us to trust the Lord Himself for our security, for our well-being. That we're to have a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, and strength of our Lord to be the very foundations upon which we build our lives and to undergird our sense of security. And truly, who better is there to put our trust in? Concerning reliability and faithfulness, Psalm 33:4 says this: for the word of the Lord is upright, and all His works are done in faithfulness. All His works, not some of His works, all of His works are done in faithfulness. And Numbers 23:19 says this: God is not human that He should lie. He's not human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Well, it's rhetorical, of course, because the answer is, of course not. He is God. He is the very author of truth. So God is utterly truthful, and if God ceased to be utterly truthful, He would cease to be our God. because truthfulness is inherent to his being. Oh, and by the way, there's no one more able than God. As Paul himself declares in Ephesians 3:20, now to him is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to that power that's at work within us. Paul knew God is more able. God is able to do infinitely more than we ask or imagine. Reminds me of that children's song, he is able, he is able, I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. And it's true. He is able. And God is certainly strong enough to meet our need. Psalm 21:13 says, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. And his strength is spoken of in Psalm 28 and Psalm 29 and Psalm 65. And throughout the scriptures, we're told of God's strength. After all, his was the strength, the power that brought forth the world with just a word. With just a word. There can be no question about God's infinite power. So we're commanded to trust the one who is utterly trustworthy. The one who has all the power, he has all the reliability, he has all the ability, and all the strength that one could ever need. Ever need. And notice we're commanded to trust not in a half-hearted way. We're to trust with all your heart. We're not to trust like when I say to my sons, hey, will you take out the trash? And they answer back, yeah, I'm on it. And they stay on the couch. Now you know what's going to happen, don't you? See, I'm going to have to say again, will you take out the trash? Will you take out the trash? Because it's such a half-hearted response. I don't know if they're really in the game or not. But our calling isn't to be like that half-hearted response. Our response is to be with all our heart. That means that we're to be all in with God, to be wholly devoted to him. And in this way, we offer him the greatest praise. So I say, hey, will you take out the trash? And he says, oh, yes, I am on it. Wouldn't that blow your mind? It was the author and pastor George MacDonald who was quoted as saying this. He said, to be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved. To be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved. Few delights can equal the mere presence of one whom we trust utterly. You see, when we trust another, we give away something of ourselves, don't we? Something that we see is of great value. And we hand it to another, making ourselves at once dependent upon and vulnerable to the person, that entity we've entrusted. When we trust another, we risk being harmed. We risk their misusing that which we have offered up. I think that's why there's such a scar left upon a man or a woman when they've been betrayed in their trust by their spouse or by a dear friend. And I think that's probably why those who put their trust in government to solve all of our problems get so out of sorts when they see things at work that don't match the trust that they've invested in such an institution. Because they've given something of great value to the other, and it's been misused, or it's been abused. Oh, we can love at a distance, but to trust is a more intimate experience. And it demonstrates our reliance upon the other. And as we trust, and as our trust is not betrayed, the relationship expands, and it grows, and it deepens. As we trust God, our relationship with him will expand, and it will grow, and it will deepen. Are you tangled up? Be in the Word. Be in the Word so you can hear God's truth. And entrust yourself to to the God who is utterly trustworthy. As you see what's written in the Word and you see what He calls us to and how He tells us the world actually works, take Him at His word. That's the way the world works. That's the way the world works. Now, having commanded what we are to do, Solomon now tells us what we are not to do. We are not to lean on our own understanding. Now, this doesn't mean that we aren't to be wise and seeking understanding, because the Scripture is filled with calls to wisdom and understanding. Incline your hearts to understanding, it says in Proverbs 2:2. And blessed is the one who gets understanding, it says in Proverbs 3:13. And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver, in Proverbs 16:16. So the command here is not to be unwise. The command here is not to lack understanding, but rather it's to make our wisdom and to make our understanding secondary to that of God's. We're not to take our support or become dependent for our own security or our own sense of well-being based primarily upon our own perceptions. We're not to be the last word. And this is because our own understanding of the way the world works simply will not bear the full weight of the reality of the situation. And it was never intended to. And this makes sense when you compare our frailty as fallen and broken and finite creatures with the perfections of God. Just as God is perfect in all His ways, and He is, man demonstrates perfection in none of his ways. Even the perfections that we celebrate are not perfections. No matter how accomplished we may be, or how wise we may be, we will always fall short of the perfections of God. We will always fall short of His standard. I was watching a documentary not too long ago called Jiro Loves Sushi. Has anybody watched that? How sad. I'm the only one. This is probably why my kids laugh at me when I watch certain documentaries. Anyway, so Jiro Loves Sushi. And Jiro is considered the preeminent sushi chef in all of Japan. I mean, he's like at the very top. Everybody emulates him. Everybody wants to do sushi the way Jiro does sushi. But it's interesting that as they followed this man, it became very clear that Jiro didn't claim a sense of perfection. He didn't lean on what he believed was perfection in his craft. Instead, Jiro had a very clear sense that perfection was not something he had in him. It was something that he worked toward. It was something he was constantly in search of. And so he never put his own dependence on his skill. He was always learning more about sushi. Sushi. And he understood he could never be perfect at the craft. And we have to come to that understanding too, that we'll never be perfect in and of ourselves. So when we don't trust God to guide us, when we don't trust God to direct our ways, we're really choosing the less rational option. I mean, would you rather fly with a man who has spent years in the pilot seat, has years of experience, and has been thoroughly trained, or would you rather fly with the guy you just met who was sitting in the waiting room and who's read a lot of flying magazines? Now, I would submit that far too often, I find in my own walk with Christ, I find myself being dependent and trusting of me more than of God. In essence, I'm choosing to fly with the guy who's read a lot of flying magazines. And I can recognize this in my own life, this leaning on my own understanding, when I'm steadfastly holding to a belief that is in opposition to the known word of God. Ever done that? Held on to something because you know it's right, even though the word of God may say, no, that's not the way the world works. Or I can know that I'm leaning on my own understanding when I'm working really, really hard to justify my belief with the scripture. That my belief actually is being upheld in the Scripture. The Scripture says, no, this is wrong. And I say, yeah, but it's all the way you read it. See, you gotta read it the right way to understand that what I'm doing is okay. I call that doing cheetah flips with the Scripture. I got to do cheetah flips to make the Scripture say what I want it to say, as opposed to looking at it in the simple truth. It says, no, no. The Scripture is actually speaking against me in this matter. And I have to yield to it. So, for example, someone hurts me. And in response, I may act in bitterness and anger. And I hold on to that anger. Well, because they hurt me. I have a great reason. I mean, they were mean. See, the truth is, I'm acting on my own understanding. But God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This means that I have to lay aside my understanding of what I think is right, what I think is a right response, a reasonable response, and I have to trust that His ways are better. But yeah, but you don't understand. You see, if I do that, you don't understand. I'll be walked all over, so God's word doesn't really apply to me. No, it does. Oh yeah, but you don't understand the depth of the hurt I've experienced. How can I possibly forgive? Yeah, Jesus wouldn't know about depths of hurt. Jesus wouldn't understand how pained you are. So remember, we follow the one who was tempted in every way. We follow the one who suffered and died, who was perfect in all his ways. I think he understands. Our excuses to not respond, our attempts to lean on our understanding, they fall very short. He calls us to yield. Trust him. Yield to the truths of the Scripture. So you find you might want to take some time to look at your responses. To look at your responses to various challenges and ask yourself, who are you putting your trust in? Is my response in line with Scripture? And how will you know if you're trusting God? How will you know? You'll know you're trusting God when you're obeying His commands. You know that your little person trusts you when they stand at the end of the diving board and they got their little floaty on and you're in the deep end treading water and you say, take off the floaty, jump to me. And they come to the edge of the diving board and they look, not so sure. And you keep calling, come on, baby, I'm right here. Come to me, jump in. And they take off a floaty and they leap. And the best part about when little kids do that is they leap. I mean, they don't do, you know, the little toe. They like, and they are to you. You tangled up? Go to the Word. You can't know what's true. You can't know what God wants of you if you're not in the Word. And trust. Trust that His ways are higher. Trust that which He says is true. And lay aside your own understanding of the way the world works and don't use that as the measure of what's true or not. Trust Him. Go all in. Go all in. And Solomon says this, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. If we're going to trust God, we're going to be acknowledging Him in all our ways. This means that trust is not something that can remain hidden, nor is it something that's evidenced in only one area of our lives. Our trust is to be evident in all our ways. We are to trust Him in the way we handle our families. We are to trust Him in the way that we handle our responsibilities at work. We are to trust Him as we go through the school day. We are to trust Him in the way that we handle our finances and the way we engage with our neighbors and in the way we interact with one another here at Grace. And when we take Him at His word, We're acknowledging him. When we're taking him at his word in these various places in our lives, we're acknowledging him. And the scripture says, if you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you. What a gracious loop that is. So are you tangled up? Well, if so, recognize that you're in good company. You aren't the only one who's tangled up. And take heart, because God is able and willing to make straight your paths. If you want to get untangled, you're going to remember a couple of things. You want to be untangled? Be in the Word. It's from the Word that you're going to find the wisdom you need to better understand the God, what God desires of you. And it is in the Word that you're going to find the truth you need to live as free men and women. Two, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember that God is trustworthy, and we can safely put our trust in him, knowing that his ways are perfect and always, always meant for our betterment. Go all in with the Lord. Take that dive into the pool. You'll find that the water may be cold, maybe sort of a wake-up, but he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Three, do not lean on your own understanding. Remember that you are not meant to be the last word as to how the world works. You were not meant to walk this life apart from the guidance and leadership of the Lord. He meant for you to walk with him, to allow his lead, allowing him to show you how the world works. What a gracious thing it is to know that God desires to walk with you. God doesn't leave you to your own devices. He wants to be right near you, graciously uplifting, graciously supporting. And four, acknowledge him in all your ways. Remember that God calls you to place your trust in him in all the areas of your life, not in some. So is there a place in your life that you're holding away from him? Is there some place that you're believing that he has no authority? No, his ways are not at work in my household. It's too much of a mess. Nope. No, he could never. He could never be at work. It's just too crazy a place. No. Or no, he can't be at work in me as I deal with the bullies at school. It's not true. He has authority over it all. And he calls us to acknowledge him in all the paths of life. So if you find that there is a place where you don't give him and don't submit to his authority, clear your head. Clear your head and surrender all your ways to him. And he will straighten your paths. And keep in mind, having a straight path means that it's correct or right in accordance with his standard. Straight doesn't imply that the road ahead is easy or comfortable. I know sometimes that's sold in Christian circles, that if we're doing what God wants, it's going to go smoothly, and it's going to be comfortable for me, and wealth and riches are going to come my way, and it's just the skies are going to open up, and the clouds will be gone, and the heavens will sing. Now, it's shocking to me that people would fall into that trap to believe that somehow a straight path for God is somehow always comfortable. Christ walked the straight path by definition, and it wasn't comfortable. Christ walked the hill to Golgotha. I don't think it was pleasant. So we can't expect that walking the straight path will somehow be pleasant or comfortable for us, but it will be right. And it will be where we need to be for God to do what God is going to do in us to bring himself glory and honor, that we might be used for his plans and his purposes. We're not promised easy or comfortable, but it says as we trust him and do not lean on our own understanding and acknowledge him in all our ways, God will be actively at work on behalf of those who are obedient to him. And he will be taking them where they need to be so that they are better able to live a life of worship and praise. Are you tangled up? Take heart. Take heart. God is a God who will straighten your path. Let's pray. Father God, we entrust ourselves to you as the great straightener. Father, we pray that you will call us to your word when we're all tangled up. We pray that you'll call us to trust you and to not lean on our own understanding and to acknowledge you in all the paths of this life. And we will watch and see how you are faithful to your word and how you will be at work in us, straightening our path, calling us to yourself, drawing us into an ever-deepening relationship with you that we might be as free men and women. Thank you for your word. Amen.